Well, you will be pleased to know, because I'm a proper motherfucking planner, Patrick.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James, and for the benefit of the patrons listening on the audio, you're listening to my YouTube live stream, Ask James, which is an exclusive for patrons at all tier levels today. Thank you to all the patrons who are still with us this September. Your support is always welcomed. I can't fit the words. I've got to be honest with all of you guys. I'm really, really ill. I'm right under it. On the way to West Ham last night, I started feeling absolutely terrible. And I was having like hot, cold flushes coming back from the game last night as well. I did not have an enjoyable night. It's nothing to do with the football. Captain Haaland, it's nothing to do with FPL. I'm feeling pretty under the weather at the moment. So my brain's not with me. Forgive me. But I am grateful that you're all here, and we're always thankful to have you. Right, let's get into the questions. Deadline day's a bit shit, isn't it? It always is. So fucking overhyped. Fancy Billy says, howdy, Jimbo. What's the most random yet possible transfer you can foresee happening by the end of the day? I can see Everton putting in a cheeky 40 million bid for Lewis Dunk. No chance, mate. You ain't going to get anything random like that happens between now and the end of the window. The only thing I can think I could see, which might be left field, is Chelsea might throw a lot of money at something, or if Arsenal can't get Douglas Luiz, they might throw money at something else. That's all I can see. In terms of randomness, otherwise, nah. Most sensible clubs have got the majority of their business done, haven't they? I ain't going to see anyone moving for that sort of money. My toast says, hi, James, non-FPL related question first. What's your favourite dad joke? Oh, my God. I'd say something that comes to mind. Is the wife has got a friend who lives in a place called Ware, W-A-R-E, and it really annoys her. But I don't know why she always has to mention that her friend lives in Ware, because she knows what I'm going to say, right? Ware. It's a terrible joke. I don't really have much dad jokes. Like, we don't actually speak to each other that much. Sam O'Sullivan says, hi, James. Hope you're well. I went De Bruyne over Haaland at the start of the season, which has gone horribly wrong the last two game weeks. Do I hold De Bruyne and hope for regression, or switch to Haaland? You hold this week, mate. As it stands, I captain Kevin De Bruyne this weekend. For me, I'm a non-Salah owner. So I would be working out now how I was going to get De Bruyne to Haaland possibly next week, because it's too much. It's unstoppable. Doesn't mean you can't have the two together, by the way. And that's what I'm on at the moment. And I might just stick with it, actually. Which is actually one thing, for those advanced here, you might have seen the video I did yesterday, looking at potential pretenders wildcard. Well, I'm on the free Man City that I'd want. So it might just be, for me, it's a bit of a phasing. And therefore, I might be steaming in something right at the end, possibly like the last four or five game weeks. But I'm very open to using the wild card at any point. But if I was the wild card in game week 8, I'd go Treble City. And I've got the Treble City that I'd go with, which is Cancelo, De Bruyne and Haaland. I think most of us think Haaland won't start this weekend. He could obviously come on and do bits. Of course he could. I think it's more likely that City are winning the game comfortably and we don't see him at all. I have no thoughts of selling him at all. Couldn't care less. And I'll probably captain Haaland against Tottenham in game week 7, legitimately. He's just phenomenal. But I wouldn't force it this week, Sam. KDB likely to be my captain, mate. Fancy Billy says also, if you were going to drop one of Cancelo or TAA for Nico Williams to fund a move of 4.5 million striker to Mitrovic, who would you sell? Possibly a little bit early to move in Trent with Everton and Wolves. But looking a little bit further ahead, if over, say, the 5, I'd arguably rather have Cancelo, maybe, honestly. That said, it's easier to come down on Cancelo at the moment. You can go for Walker, you can go for Stones. The centre-back situation may have just got very, very complicated with Manuel Akanji being signed today, which gives them 5 centre-backs. Whereas with Liverpool, if you're downgrading and you want to stay within Liverpool, it's not easy, is it? Not until we know that Matip or Konate are back. I think Konate would be really interesting as the season goes on, actually, in terms of saving of the money. for that reason, it's probably sell Cancelo at the moment. You can still stay within C. I know you're saying you want to go to a 4.5, but then there's someone else you can sideways it, James or Perisic or something else you can sideways it to a City player later on. Connor Boylan says, hi, James. Ahead of Fulham, surely it's a session you're on hold for one more game week and then get rid due to unlikely starts. Yeah, that's my position at the moment. In Perisic's case, I just start both of them. But yes, my expectation at this moment would be that Sessegnon will probably play against Fulham on Saturday. Even more so with the fact that he even played 90 minutes last night against West Ham. So yes, I would expect Sessegnon to start. It could be a start even for Doherty. I would expect Richarlison to start somewhere in the team, probably for Son. Could be Kulusevski though. So yeah, I'm holding, but he's got to go straight afterwards. He's got to go. You don't want, if you're like me and you're sitting there with Sessegnon on a Perisic, you don't want to both going into Man City anyway next week. I probably would just play Perisic at Man City, I think. I feel like we could lose 4-1 and he could get an attacking return and get me 4 or 5 points or something. That's where I'm at the moment. But as ever, we'll wait for potential information, which we may well get on Saturday morning. Right. Can I be honest with you? I really haven't thought much about a transfer this week. Probably roll in, just starting Sessegnon and Perisic and either Josh De Silva or Andreas Pereira's first. So probably Andreas Pereira, to be honest, because it looks like if he gets a return, he could be in the bonus, doesn't he? Judging by his two assists that he's got so far. Connor also says, and one more Kane or KDB captain option for Saturday. It's close. I just think back to the situation that Jamie Pigger and Andy Martin got in last year where they went with KDB. He didn't play. I think it was Watford. And then for them sitting there, it was obvious just to, yeah, great, go with him. It's worth saying that City's Champions League game is on Tuesday. But yeah, KDB's got to start at Villa now, hasn't he? So I'd be very tempted to go that way. I don't see Tottenham destroying Fulham. I would expect to win, obviously. But I think it's more likely that City destroy Villa than Tottenham destroying Fulham. So slight preference for KDB, I think. But be very, very clear. I think Mo's the best choice this weekend, with a little bit of doubt on his start, which hopefully we'll obviously get in the run-up to deadline. Hopefully we'll get some information. Monkey Pill says, hi, James. What do you think of Jorginho to Barnes in Sky tonight? Would likely mean I just keep him sitting there until he gets injured, but feels good for the odd shots here at least. There's worse ones. I'm not in love with this Leicester run of fixtures coming up, to be honest. United, Brighton, Villa, Tottenham are essentially the four games you're buying for. Brighton's away, Tottenham's away. He's as decent a punt as any, I think, to be honest with you. For most of us, I got Dalot last night to help fund Haaland, had to do it. Most of us are going to miss. It's probably going to be like 1-1 or 2-1. Most of us are going to miss. I don't mind it as a punt. I think Jorginho, you're probably right to move on. It's just not there in terms of his tiers at the moment. So I'd move it on. Chelsea's passing numbers just on a whole have come down quite a bit by the looks of it. So yeah, I would probably move that on. I don't hate the Barnes shout. I think Rashford is an interesting alternative potentially, particularly looking forward and knowing that United will play on a lot of Sundays. But yeah, if you can't get there, I don't know Barnes' price, to tell you the truth. I don't hate it. It's a reasonable punt, mate. Tim Kresner says, hello, mate. Which non-Big Six team is best set up defensively? I'm playing an auction game where the theory is to hold long-term and hold for 10-plus clean sheets in the season and not get thumped. It's interesting. So which team sets up best defensively? It's either Arsenal or Tottenham, one of the two at the moment. But will they keep more clean sheets than City or Liverpool? Doubtful, once Liverpool sort themselves out. So the answer is still really City. So I'm not sure I completely understand the question. You've also got greater chance of rotation with City, whereas at the moment, Eric Dier will play every single game for Tottenham at the moment, for example, if that's the sort of thing that you're looking for. Adosh says, hi, James. Hope all is well, mate. I have 2 free transfers and need to replace Rashford. I can get Sinisterra. I have 0.4 in the bank. Another option is to downgrade Tony to Mitrovic and get Zaha for Rashford. Thoughts? Make sure that Wilfried Zaha hasn't left Crystal Palace tonight. That's extremely unlikely, by the way. I know that a few clubs have been sniffing around, but doesn't look like anything's going to come of that. Tony Dimitrovic seems reasonable. Brentford do still have a few good fixtures to go. Timing seems off on that, doesn't it? Tottenham away, Chelsea at home. Wish a big expectations on Mitrovic. I'd arguably want to give Tony Leeds and Southampton and then make that move, I think. Rather than doing that now. You know me, I'm a fixture head. I don't mind the Sinisterra shout. Brentford away, Forest at home allows you to steam into the two games and then you might want to move that on again. But yeah, I don't mind that as a shout, actually. Yeah, I don't mind the Sinisterra gamble. His numbers in the Eredivisie last year were great. Adash has a second question. Says, if Ramsdale is injured, then I might need a replacement. Looking at Pope Henderson, what would be your preference? Thanks, mate. Well, if money's not an option, then Pope. Fixtures coming up for Newcastle are great. This is arguably a super run for them. Palace, West Ham, Bournemouth, Fulham, Brentford, Manchester United, Everton before they go to Tottenham in game week 13. At that point, you've only got 4 weeks to go. So it might be one as well where I've used the wild card. So if you've used the wild card, arguably say Pope. If you haven't, I'd arguably say Henderson. Because Forest don't really walk into anything tough themselves to sort of game week 12, 13, 14. Though I wouldn't be that hopeful of clean sheets in 9, 10, 11. The immediate three are quite interesting. So it possibly comes down to whether you've used that wild card or not, mate. Dan, the FPL fan, says, hi, James. Moving on, Robertson this week. Either going Trippier or a punt on Estupinan. We'll wild card in 9, probably. Either going Trippier or a punt on Estupinan. Preference with Trips, similar kind of reasoning to what I just said about Nick Pope. Again, Brighton got a good couple of fixtures. Do you want to? What are you doing with Estupinan for Liverpool away, Tottenham 9 and 10? Got Man City and Chelsea back-to-back 13, 14. So if it's part of a rotation, don't mind it. But Trips could be great for this upcoming period. I'm going to have a look at, if I'm not intending to wildcard soon, how I'm potentially moving Trips in, I think. Because them fixtures are great. I'm not so fast Palace and West Ham the next two. But then after that, yeah, very, very interested for the five afterwards, I think. Dan also says, who do you think has had the best transfer window? Nottingham Forest, because everyone's been so critical of them. Like, why not? Signing 21 players. And if they stay up, then most of them signings were worth it. That would be how I'd take it. Tottenham's decent, but it feels a bit flat at the moment because all the signings were made quite early. Ironically, if Tottenham were making the 6 or 7 signings that we've made and we'd made them over the last 2 weeks, everyone would be really giddy. But I am so uninterested in deadline today because I don't think my football team are doing anything at all, which is fine. I don't want them to get players for the sake of getting players, to be honest. Good window. I think Leeds has probably had a bit of an under-the-radar decent window considering they lost Phillips and Rafinha. I think they've added to the squad quite well, I would say. I think Arsenal, it's fair to say, with the likes of Zinchenko and Jesus have added in key and important areas. And obviously, although he's not a new signing, not letting Saliba go on loan again looks definitely like the right choice. So, Tottenham, Arsenal, Leeds, I think, probably the ones. I'll throw Forest in there. Newcastle's been decent as well. Isak's a good sign. Obviously, Botman's a good signing. They've had a decent window as well. Matt Stewart says, hi, James. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on two Liverpool young players, Fabio Carvalho and Harvey Elliott. How do you see them developing and can they be Liverpool regulars in the future? They definitely can. And in Elliott's case, arguably pushing for him to be first choice now. Even more so with, I mean, watching Henderson's performance, I feel like Liverpool's strongest 11, if I think about it on paper, as in midfield three. Fabinho, Thiago to the left, Henderson to the right is what we've come accustomed to. Henderson's hamstring injury means I think Elliott's the best replacement on the right of that midfield three. So I think he'll play quite a lot in the upcoming weeks. Carvalho is a more advanced player and I think will be used more as an impact in the immediate. But we've obviously seen him have key involvements for Liverpool already, which is promising signs. And he's got every chance of developing into a top player. They both have. They both really have. They both, ironically, if they get enough minutes, outside shots for the England squad. I don't see why not. I'm presuming they're both English, as far as I'm aware. So yeah, Klopp's not afraid, in fairness. If a kid's good enough, he'll stick him in. Think of with Trent. Once Trent got in, never looked back, did he? So Klopp's not immune to sticking a kid in. I think that's part of the evolution I spoke about with Dan, FPL Local Lord, last summer. What's the evolution for Liverpool? He probably is to integrate more younger players. And those two certainly have a very bright future. There's not a lot to dislike about either player. Very different players, but both very promising. I think Elliot will be involved a lot for Liverpool. Every chance we look back on this moment at the end of the season and he started 30 games or so. I think that's possible. Neil Thompson says, afternoon, loving the guests this week. Great content as always. How is your Gaffer Championship team doing? Cheers. I mean, on the deadline stream the other day, I was like, fuck, it's the deadline. Let me check my team. Okay, put the caps on him. I'm about 600th or something, mate. I'm not putting a lot into it at the moment. When's the deadlines? Tomorrow. I hate them Friday deadlines for Gaffer. Ironically, I hate Friday FPL deadlines, but then Saturday Gaffer deadlines are great. Then I have time on late on a Friday night to go, oh, yeah, I know what I'm going to do that, for example. So not doing great. It probably needs a wild card. At the moment, I don't have time to give it any brain power. And I think a wild card needs some proper brain power. These midweek fixtures, I've got none, mate. I'm very honest with you. I've got no real interest in it at the moment. Sorry to say. Dan, the FPL fan, says, my Gaffer team is in need of surgery too. Bowler looks like he's going to Forest. He does. Brereton Diaz to Fulham. Yes, that's possible. Not sure where to go. Don't ask me, Dan. Tim Cresser says, which Spurs player do you think could have been a world class but has never fulfilled their potential? A few that spring to mind include, I mean, it's obvious that Marcus Edwards' his name is going to be there. Adel Taarabt, Marcus Edwards, Halfredson, Koulibaly. I never saw Halfredson. Not even in a friendly. Never saw him. Koulibaly, I saw at Stevenage. Wow. Same day Aaron Lennon made his debut, I'm fairly sure. And all the hype was about Routledge, and they played 45 minutes each. And I think after they'd played the 45 minutes each, Wayne Routledge realised he'd made a mistake during this because Lennon was going to nick his place straight away. Yeah, Koulibaly had real potential. There was high hopes for him. I think he struggled to sell. Taarabt was an enigma, right? He had to be the hub of the team. So like what he did at QPR was like you could have 10 workers around him and let him do his thing was the ideal scenario. It was never going to really work at Tottenham. We only really played on the left. Kind of similar role to how Ginola would play for us. It created imbalance. Edwards. Well, am I going to get to see Marcus Edwards finally at the new White Hart Lane in the Champions League? He's at Sporting Lisbon, isn't he? So yeah, he's going to tear us apart. It's written in the stars, I guess. It's got to be Edwards, mate. Really has to be, Tim. Ridiculous talent. Anthony Nogito says, can Andreas now be considered a starting fourth midfielder in our teams? Yes, I think he can, particularly once you get beyond the next two. I just think psychologically, and this is where you have to be careful with this, Pereira's not playing like a 4.5 midfielder. He's playing like a 5.5/6 million midfielder, really. Do we want to look at him in our teams, though, away to Tottenham or at home to Chelsea? Not particularly, which of course just adds to the appeal of him as an asset. But then beyond that, there is certainly a case to say, you look at that run, Forest away, Newcastle home, West Ham away, Bournemouth at home, Villa at home, Leeds away, Everton at home. That run from 8 to 14, and it is absolutely a case to say, should we start him regularly? Of course. And very much in my mind, potentially to do so. And look at, that's ironically, that run starts for Fulham in 8. From 9, Arsenal have a more difficult run. And I'd consider even dropping Martinelli to a 4.5, arguably. And then, yeah, having 3 4.5s and just starting Pereira regularly. I don't think that's beyond reason. There's no need to make that decision now. I think ideally, do we want to start him in 6 or 7? No. I think after that, it becomes a serious debate, potentially. Dan, the FPL fan, says, we've just signed Josh Cobon on loan from Middlesbrough. He's referring to Bristol Rovers, obviously. Remember his winning goal in the cup against your lot last season? No recollection, Dan, I'm afraid. Do not remember playing Middlesbrough in the cup at all. Lee Sherwood says, I'm going James to Williams and De Silva to Zaha. 2 free transfers. Do I do both now or just Williams this week and punt him against Bournemouth? If I do both, I bench him and play Zaha versus Newcastle. Would first thing to say, Lee, is if I had not sold Reece James in midweek, I certainly wouldn't be selling him now. I'd keep James. Is Wilfried Zaha a better FPL asset than Reece James? And he costs quite a bit more. Palace got Newcastle away, United at home, Brighton away, Chelsea at home, next four. Can I be honest with you, Lee? I would just keep Reece James. He trains yesterday. He had an illness. That's why he missed the Southampton game. He's fit. He's fine. I'd keep him. I'd play him. That's generally where I'd be at. If you were to make the move, I would do both and just get Zaha in. Lee also says, thanks for your high-quality content during quick game week turnarounds. You're very welcome, Lee. I suspect this illness is brought on by two things. One, working a little bit too hard, as I explained to advanced tier patrons on a video this morning. And my son has had a bit of a bug, and I think I've caught it later than I expected from him. And yeah, I detest these. I haven't even watched Match of the Day from last night yet. I haven't had time. I will do tonight, but I'm not going to. To be honest, I'm going to be relying on FPL Irons to do the heavy lifting, I think, on the review tomorrow, and it'll be focused more in terms of strategy and fixture analysis and moves, and I can't go into detail on the tactics of the games last night. I ain't seen shit of them, and obviously Luke would have watched West Ham Tottenham as well. I watched Palace Brentford Tuesday night. It was great. Honestly, I really, really enjoyed that. I'd messaged Luke, because he's doing a review with me tomorrow, and I said, what do you want to watch tonight? And he said, I'll flip between Leeds Fulham. Fine, I'll take the other two. So obviously Palace started earlier and the game just had a really good vibe. So I was going to flip between that and Chelsea. It just had a really good vibe. I ended up staying with it. I really enjoyed it, actually. It wasn't high on goal malfaction or anything. It just had a really good tempo to the game. It was some interesting stuff tactically, which I'll talk about a bit tomorrow, which is going to be useless to most people. But that's the game that I really watched from a tactical perspective. I can't even promise you that I'm going to watch Leicester Man United tonight. One, I know that Luke will. And two, I'm tired. Marius Stoiker says, hi, James. Would you bench James for Eze this week? What? When a bench... I mean, what's the question? Is that Daniel James? Would I bench Reece James for Eze? That's not a real question, surely, mate. Really? I mean, I've just covered this with Reece James. It seems very clear to me. He'll play on Saturday. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with him. The West Ham have hardly been hammering in the goals of either of they. Two goals in five. Both scored by midfielders. One of them heavily deflected. Steve Jones says, how you doing, James? Purely for enjoyment purposes, if you could only play one of Sky Fantasy or FPL, which would it be? Sky. And that's not going to... That's not going to surprise anyone. Sorry, the left side of my head is hurting more than the right side. Something might look weird there to the viewers. At Sky, mate. Sky, I love the strategy behind it and stuff. It's great. I'm never going to win it. Never going to win it while I'm doing content. It's also possibly the last year of it, so we think maybe as well. Yeah, I play Sky. It doesn't mean shit to me, mate, in FPL, whether I finish 30,000 or 3 million. I don't really care. That doesn't matter. I'm more worried about the content. I didn't even know till about 10 o'clock this morning that Martinelli got 10 points last night. I don't really care. So absolutely Sky, mate. Man on Pod Martin. Hi, James. Do you think Gerrard has any chance of turning things around at Villa without Michael Beale? Who do you think has been the most important assistant manager in the Premier League era? Ooh, in the whole era. Okay, I'll come back to that. Can Gerrard turn it round? Yes. Because if they hang on, they've got a really good run of fixtures between 7 and 10, and they win three of them, then it's fine and it's all kind of forgotten, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, he's throwing shit at the wall stage. I think it's been well documented that supposedly a lot of the players used to call Beale the manager and stuff. Yeah, it's not going well, is it? Lee Jackson's coming on the pod next week for COTC, and who knows, Gerrard might even be gone by then. It was dangerous. We're recording Monday night. The pod's going to go out on Thursday. If Villa have a really bad result on Saturday, that's possibly a bit dangerous. Similar applies with Leicester. We might be re-recording some of that, possibly. best assistant manager in the Premier League era. That's, well, it's really, really tough to say. Obviously, Ferguson had loads who helped him, from Steve McClaren, Carlos Queiroz, Rennie Mulestein, who did great jobs for him. Trying to think, to be honest. I don't really know what Pat Rice's overall impact would have maybe been at Arsenal, but he was there for a long time with Wenger, wasn't he? So became very trusted, I presume. That's really difficult to say. I mean, even with United, go further and say Brian Kidd, right? And I know they fell out, him and Ferguson, but yeah, you could say Brian Kidd probably played a really big role in helping slowly change, and I would very slowly change the culture at Manchester United, I think. So arguably him, it's difficult to say. I couldn't even tell you who Mourinho's assistant was at Chelsea. Can't even think. I think Pep Linder's doing a great job at Liverpool. Guardiola is such the hub of what happens at City that I don't think that's quite so important. I think Linder's doing a really good job at Liverpool. He's extremely highly rated. He's far more likely to be Liverpool's next manager at the moment than Steven Gerrard, I can tell you that much at the moment. I'm going to say Brian Kidd, actually, just because it was the start and it was a dominant period for him. Andrew Grundin says, can we all agree that Liverpool's goal at the death was perfect justice for shameless time wasters like Newcastle? Someone check on Joel Linton right now. Is he on the floor with cramp again? This is really interesting, Andrew. Do you know that I think there was only 4 games so far this season where the ball's been in play more than that game last night? It's interesting. So there was more football played in that game than most games. So like, I didn't watch the game. I haven't even seen the goals yet. So I can't really comment on it. Sure, there's time wasting. So what? So? You got more out of the game in terms of ball on pitch. It was 8 minutes added on, no? So it looks like the referee was on top of that time wasting. That's how it looks to me. Didn't Pope go down for like... I've heard people say that Pope was down for 3 minutes in injury time, but actually it was only 1.5 minutes. So, I mean, again, I can't really comment, Andrew, because I haven't seen it. But what I do know statistically is that the ball was in play far more than it's been in the majority of the other games. There have been 49 games played in the Premier League so far, and I think only 3 of them have seen the ball in play more than Liverpool-Newcastle last night. So, there you go. Patrick Gordart says, what's the plan for Arsenal and Liverpool assets in game weeks 9 to 12? Well, you will be pleased to know, because I'm a proper motherfucking planner, Patrick, that FPL Loco Lord and Adam Pritchard will both be on Clash of the Correspondents during that period. There's a 2-week international break. We're going to do Liverpool and Brighton for COTC, and we're going to do Arsenal top. So we'll get firsthand from the guys, what do they think? There's a case to say with Liverpool earlier, obviously, because they played Chelsea in 8, right? It's either slowly come off or wildcard or keep. The thing is, you take players like Martinelli and Jesus particularly, I think, and they're just exceptional value, aren't they? Arsenal have 3 really tough fixtures. Tottenham at home, Liverpool at home, Man City at home, 9, 10 and 12. They're all at home. And from the other team's perspective, Tottenham, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal away is one of their toughest games of the season. It's got to be now. So do these guys hold and represent enough value for us that we just keep them? I mean, there are teams with certain fixes around that point, like Fulham obviously coming to a good run. So something like Jesus to Mitrovic. We've mentioned Newcastle, Alexander Isak. I think on the Game Week 8 wildcard I looked at for the advanced tiers, I had Haaland, Mitrovic and Isak as the front three. No Arsenal at all. And I think if you're wildcarding then there's a strong case to say go against it. But it's still going to be difficult. The ownership of these guys is going to be really strong. They can still return. What I'd say is in those fixtures, they're unlikely to haul. So I've come off Ramsdale this week. Which with his flag, it's probably looking like a half-decent move at the moment. Not that it worked out for me, because I would have... Ironically, I probably would be selling Ramsdale this week now if I hadn't sold him last week because of this flag and really not wanting Danny Ward in goal away to Brighton. But again, do you know what? It might have even tempted me to look at the the Warden-Everson combo, considering the transfer window shuts tonight. I presume Leicester are now not buying a goalkeeper. But yeah, there's a case to come off. And I think the smart play might be to come off earlier. Brentford away in 8, come off. You could make a case for Liverpool. Wolves at home in 7, come off. I like the idea of that always. Come off one before the really difficult run. Because then you are kind of trend-setting the move. You're ahead. You're ahead. So rather than everyone else gets the Liverpool way to Chelsea in 8 and thinks, shit, I want to come off. You've done it. You've gone earlier. You've come off in 7. Rather than looking at, oh, Arsenal got Tottenham, Liverpool, Man City 3 and 4. Leeds away in the middle. Come off for Brentford away. It's not a great fixture anyway. Come off a little bit earlier. So I'm down to 2 Arsenal, which is fine. Like, I would like to have something defensive for Everton at home in 7, but I'm not going back to that, to be honest, unless it was a sort of like a 1 week where I went, okay, I'm going to wildcard an 8, fine. I don't want Perisic at Manchester City. I may throw in Saliba or something for the 1 week because I'd fancy them for the clean sheet in that fixture. But yeah, there's a case, Patrick, to say, sell. It would be easier said than done. Andrew Jarvis says, hello, mate. Hope you're well. Did you enjoy your visit to the London Stadium? Spurs fans were quiet. Jokes. Would you do a mini wild card for -4 of Patterson, KDB, Stansfield to Fofana, Diaz, Mitrovic this game week? No, wouldn't bank on Fofana starting as yet. Mitrovic has got Tottenham away. And I wouldn't say it's a guarantee that even Diaz plays, to be totally honest. So, no, on the face of it, you're getting 3 better players in there and you're getting rid of 2, I guess, enablers. Well, not even enablers, they're just bench options, aren't they? Really, Patterson and Stansfield. So what's your bench look like if you make that move, mate? Are you worried about the rotation? I don't really worry about it, mate. Even last night, De Bruyne came on, didn't he? If Perisic gets a rest on Saturday, he'll come on. How much do you need that bench? I'd give that some thought. It would be a no for me. In terms of the atmosphere last night, it was pretty shit. Maybe the other 3,000 Tottenham fans that were with me were also under the weather. I don't know. It's very difficult at West Ham to get the atmosphere going. I spoke about this before because you're completely separated. You've got half of you are in the lower tier and then you've got a postcode between the lower tier and the fucking upper tier. And it's difficult to get the atmosphere going because of the vastness of the place. It's not necessarily an excuse. I would say, yeah, the atmosphere in the away end last night was pretty pony, to be totally honest. I also think it was pretty pony from the West Ham fans as well. Tim Kresner said it was nothing like Nottingham Forest. I promise you, half the Nottingham Forest fans made double the noise that the West Ham fans made last night. I'm absolutely certain of that, despite it being the cup final. Tim Kresner says, sorry, following my earlier question about which team is best set up defensively, it was meant to be non-Big Six team. Oh, okay, well, the answer to that then is Newcastle, mate. It's very straightforward for me. You'd make a case for Brighton, but Newcastle in terms of timing, bang, you're in for the fixtures now. So I'm going to say Newcastle, mate. Lee Sherwood says, Zaha or Saint-Maximin? Prefer Saint-Maximin fixtures, but like Zaha being talisman. Yeah, that's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. I think you summarised it well. Definitely rather have Zaha. But the fixtures do look better for Saint-Maximin. They absolutely do. That's tough. Palace's fixtures are still ropey as, aren't they? Not that that overly matters for Wilf. I'm going to say Wilf. But yeah, that's tough. I don't know if that says a lot for Saint-Maximin. I'm still saying Wilf being a fixture head. Andrew Babinchez, sorry if I mispronounced that, mate, says, what's your gut feel on Chelsea moving forward? Tempted to bring in Sterling, but afraid I'm just chasing points. West Ham at home would be a very decent fixture for them because West Ham have had quite a difficult week, I would say. And obviously being a 3 o'clock Saturday is not going to help. They'll have obviously an extra day's rest over West Ham. And you may get a reaction considering how bad they were at Southampton. We didn't see that reaction for Chelsea against Leicester, but how could we when they played the majority of the game with 10 men? So there might be a reaction from Chelsea at the weekend. I would expect them to beat West Ham. Then it's Fulham. But that's Chelsea have a problem at the moment in terms of press resistance, and Fulham look like they're going to be a really good pressing team, as are obviously Liverpool, who they played the following week. So, I mean, I wouldn't be overly keen on that, to be honest, Andrew. David Beaton says, hi, James. Just surfaced from behind the sofa after watching the Norwegian Lyndon Dykes last night. Would you take Billy Gilmour at Spurs? Really hope he gets a move. Brighton are linked. Why would I take him at Spurs, mate? Sit as like fifth or sixth choice midfielder. Yeah, sure. I think he's an extremely talented player. It was absolutely astonishingly good for Scotland against England last summer. But pissed his season up the wall at Norwich. And I don't know what's happened. And that has to be concerning. Would I take him at Spurs? We wouldn't get anywhere near the team, mate, to be honest. It's too short for Antonio Conte midfielder. He's got one in there, Oliver Skip. He wouldn't take two. Paul Meehan says, hi, James. Sorry if this is repetitive from earlier questions. I'm at work and have to listen in later. I'm torn between Cancelo and Stansfield to Dunk and Tony, or Stones and De Silva to Dunk and Gross, two free transfers. Wildcard one, game week 9. So we're looking at 3 game weeks, yeah? Double Brighton. Leicester, Bournemouth, Palace. I tell you what I like as a punt, and I know Mark's bought him, but I liked it from what I saw last Sunday anyways. Gibbs White at Forest, if you're looking for 3 weeks. Bournemouth at home, Leeds away, Fulham at home. I prefer that to Gross at the moment, personally. Dunk, yeah, solid Asmund. Rather have a Brighton defender than a Forest defender. But again, you know Nico Williams on that option. Does that allow you to get a bit higher with a midfielder? Does that allow you up to Martinelli level? In terms of your torn option, selling Cancelo is just not on the agenda for me at the moment, mate, to be honest. I know it has been for a lot of people, but he's not on the agenda for me personally. So I would say the sell Stones and Dunk to Silva option, but I'm not keen on you buying two Brighton players together, to be totally honest. Paul Meehan says, thanks for doing this, by the way. These sessions are extremely helpful for us. Thank you, Paul. Yeah, helpful for me as well, you know, mate. Jamie Shea says, hey, James, do you think it's silly to think about trying to get clever and look at taking Jesus out before Spurs in a few weeks? Could be a chance to gain ground by identifying the right jump-off spot. Well, no, I've kind of covered it, that maybe before Brentford away. Same day, Isak's got Bournemouth at home. Just saying. I mean, that could be wild card week for me anyway. Once this weekend's gone, I'm going to give that some real strong thought. I'm not going to be in... I'm not bothered about having Man City assets against Tottenham in 7, to be honest, at the moment. Just think they're what the floor with us. They're just too good. And we're not at our best. I mean, we have to be at our best to get signed. That said, we lost 3 games in a row before we went there last year and beat them. But I wouldn't fear having the City assets against Tottenham. Chelsea-Liverpool feels like more of a rub where I wouldn't want that in 8 so much. City assets is not so much of a problem. So, yeah, I'm going to strongly look at 8. But I'm not going to look at it till the weekend's gone. Yes, there is options there. Jesus to something like Isak in game week 8, he's pretty appealing. Mitrovic also, obviously. Fulham, Newcastle, West Ham, Bournemouth. Villa, Leeds, Everton's great little run. I think if I wildcard an 8, there's every chance I'd look at Isak, Mitrovic, Haaland as a front three. And yeah, I'd be really coming off that Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal. I'd really be coming off it. I'm going to give it some thought. Plenty of ways to play this. But the game's boring. I mean, that sort of wild card I was looking at, I'm looking at people like Jared Bowen, James Maddison around about that time, your St. Maximins, your Trippiers. Emerson Palmeiro, if he gets into the West Ham team, the Ward Everson double up, you know, I might just throw it all in and go pure fixture heavy game week 8 wild card. I am considering it. Jamie says, also, would you give any credence to an idea for 4-3-3 with Kane, Haaland and a mid-price striker? Or is it doomed to fail? Getting close to wild card time, I'm toying with the idea at the moment. I think it's a no, because I just think, and I'll maintain this, I think, for quite a while, structure-wise, I would want a midfielder in at that top price value, be it Son, De Bruyne, Salah. At least you can get close to it. You'd want to have Haaland at the moment. But then you can obviously come down, when he gets injured, and he will at some point, you can come down to Kane, to Nunes, etc. I still like having the midfielder at kind of the 8 million value. but he realised it doesn't look as clear cut as it did. But then I might wild card into two players at that value, like something like Maddison and Bowie in a roundabouts game week 8. Admittedly, in Maddison's case, he goes to Tottenham that week, so I'd probably look at a 1 week punt for something else. Maybe it would even be Saint-Maximin and then decide whether to move or not, for example, with Newcastle at home to Bournemouth. I'm not keen, is the honest answer, Jamie. On the face of it right now, Kane, Haaland, Jesus, yeah, great, magnificent. But we've also, I mean, it's coming back, isn't it? Isak, Mitrovic, some good options there. Tony, everyone was buying Tony last week. There's good options in the forward line this season. So it's a no from me. I'd still want to stay at the top level where you could get a De Bruyne, Son or Salah quite quickly if you want to slash need to. Also, to be honest, you factor in Sterling and Fernandes in that as well. Bruno might improve, you know, if Ronaldo's not going to play regularly. Jamie says, and lastly, a non-FPL question. Do you see a potential merry-go-round with Lampard, Gerrard and Rodgers? Difficult to see any of them lasting the season at the moment, and outside options feel quite thin. I mean, we have joked about the Rodgers-Gerrard swap. It comes down to timing, doesn't it? Where I think if Rodgers was gone first, maybe Villa would be interested in him. Would Leicester be interested in Gerrard? I mean, Gerrard's not going to Everton, is he? Would Lampard get the Villa or the Leicester job? I can't see that, mate. Could Villa look at Brendan Rodgers? Maybe. Maybe. Jonathan Gordon says, is this the most difficult season for picking differentials? I usually burn through my transfers. This season, I'm just rolling and rolling. We spoke about this a lot in pre-season, about the idea of wildcarding quite early, right? Game week 3, game week 4, and plenty have obviously done that. But we said, if the template does quite well, what are you going to move off it for? Because the fixtures don't turn bad till you hit this sort of 8 period or so. So it just sticks. And that's why, I promise you, when you get to this period where City play Tottenham, Chelsea play Liverpool, then Arsenal play Tottenham, Arsenal play Liverpool, then Liverpool play Man City, and Arsenal play Man City, those are all in consecutive weeks, those fixtures. All of them, not in the same week, all in consecutive weeks. There's one big fixture that's going to be potentially problematic every week between 8 and 12, or you could argue 7 and 12 if you want to include City Tottenham. It will shake it up. Template ain't going to look quite so clever when you're sitting there with 6 Arsenal and Liverpool and they play each other in game week 10. What do you want to do about it? So at the moment, the fixtures have necessitated the fact that the template is staying strong. I do believe it will change a little bit. Nathaniel Chapman says, a bloke in my mini league group chat keeps referring to that injured Newcastle forward as Alan Saint-Maximin. What's the most awkward and or difficult to pronounce player name you've ever heard? Matt Doherty, because no matter how I say it, people will tell me I've said it wrong, mate. Jonathan Gordon says, do you play the Sun Fantasy Football? No, I would have considered playing it. I'll be totally honest. I wanted to play it this year because I think it's winnable for someone like me who has experience in Sky. I wouldn't promote the game, but yes, go and play it potentially. To be honest with you, I made an error in not setting up a team early because I thought I'll do that on the Thursday before the deadline, and I just had too much on. Fuck that. So I will potentially play next year. I think what I'd like to do next year, if Sky goes, I'll probably play that and I'll play the Telegraph and I'll play FPL and I'll be bored. Jonathan Gordon says, has anyone seen Antonio? Which one, mate? The one with a wig or the one that's big thighs? Which one? Adi Tor says, apologies if this has been covered. How did the officials not disallow the West Ham goal for a foul throw with VAR? I have seen that back on the TV. And you guys will know I'm not going to go moaning about referees and shit, mate. There's multiple foul throws in every single game that just generally needs looking at. I mean, yeah, it's a foul throw. Sessegnon, when he plays, is so bad for us. Oh, he's so, so bad foul throws for us. So, look, they've got away with it. It's fine. It's not a big deal. That's the end of it. Jordan's saying it's Fies Antonio. Has anyone seen him? He scored last night. He had a great effort in the first half to hit the post, mate. Adi Tor says, Oh, that's what we've done. Sorry. Oh, Jonathan also says, Bluey or Paw Patrol? Harry, my son, he hates Bluey. Whenever Bluey comes on, he goes, no more, no more. He doesn't like it at all. He's fine with Paw Patrol, so I've got to say Paw Patrol. Yeah, Bluey causes some problems in the morning. Yeah, Bluey comes on about 20 past 7 or something, I think. And then, no more, no more. So I'm going for Paw Patrol. Unless anyone's got any more questions, I think that's it. Thanks very much for joining in live, guys. It's always a fear of mine that no one will for these streams, so I really appreciate those who've come in with the questions. Obviously, FPO Iron is going to do the main pod review with me tomorrow, and Adam Gearin is going to do the differential show with myself for you. Tim says, get Harry on Hey Dougie. How am I going to get Harry on Hey Dougie? He likes Dougie, mate. To be honest, Dougie was the first thing he got into, mate. He was good with that. Dan says, thanks, James. Hope you feel better soon. Cheers, mate. Andrew says, shocking. Bluey's a legend in our house. Andrew says that Antonio assist was disgusting. It was a great flick, in fairness. Right, that's it. I'm going now. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy the football tonight. For the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please. Man Child.
The Fantasy Football Show.